It's time for your SportsEdge.com sideline report with Todd Griffin. Talking sports and more here on 1580 103.3 WBKY.
Good morning, everyone. The sideline report is on the air from 1035 West Main Street in Princeton, the WPKY studios. Thanks for tuning in today. There is baseball and softball action today, if the weather will allow. The Tiger baseball team hosts Lyon County out at the VFW ballpark. That contest is set for about a 5:30 start. And if they get to play that game, we'll have it for you here on WPKY immediately following the 5 o'clock newscast today. Lady Tigers softball team on the road today. Lady Tigers scheduled to go to the first region and take on the McCracken County Lady Mustangs, who are ranked number 2 in the state. Coming up here on the sideline report this morning, we'll be joined a little bit later on by Caldwell County football head coach Will Barnes. Also on the show today, Dave Winder, the Murray State Associate AD for Communications there in Murray. So stay tuned as we roll on here on the sideline report on 1580-103.3 WPKY.
The WPKY News Edge is committed to keep you informed. Each weekday, they'll email you the top news and sports story of the day for free. No subscription fee. To sign up, click on the news tab at WPKYonline.com to sign up today. Sign up and receive these information updates for free to your email inbox. To sign up, click on the news tab at WPKYonline.com.
Stop by BNC Unique Boutique and register to win a Mother's Day giveaway basket valued at $75 at each location, Princeton and Grand Rivers. If you're looking for a gift for mom, take a look at the clothing, shoes, jewelry, and gift items. They now carry Judy Blue brand jeans in regular to plus sizes. And if you're looking for bathing suits and lake apparel, the Grand River store is for you. Gift certificates always make great gifts. Check out their 2022 Luca and Danny graduation bracelet. BNC Unique Boutique, Princeton and Grand Rivers. Follow on Facebook.
Hello, I'm Don Weedman, Republican candidate for Caldwell County Sheriff. As you decide who to vote for, ask your friends, neighbors, and community leaders about me. What are my accomplishments in law enforcement? What kind of law enforcement leader have I been in Caldwell County? How do I conduct myself professionally and privately? How do you want Caldwell County and yourself represented? My history speaks for me. Vote Don Weedman.
Paid for by Don Weedman.
When we say
classic hits,
we mean
I just died in your arms tonight. 8675309. All right now.
Benny and the Jets. Mighty Dispel.
Listen to WPKY worldwide at
WPKYonline.com.
This is the Sideline Report on 1580-103.3 WPKY. Thanks again for tuning in this morning. Now, as promised, joining us on the show from Murray State University is Dave Winder. Dave, good morning. How are things there in Murray?
Hey, good morning, Todd. Yeah, we're doing great. We're doing great. We're just racing towards the end of a great spring season that we're having right now in many, many areas. So it's always good to come on your show and talk about Murray State. Yeah, we're having a great spring.
Yeah, last time you were on, we talked about a whole lot of different things and barely mentioned that Steve Prohm is back as a men's basketball head coach, and now he's got his entire staff in place.
Well, I tell you what, there was no one more excited to finally get that staff announcement out of the way, because there's so much work that has to be done in just a short amount of time, because, you know, even in early March, a new coach comes in this case, Steve's not only our new coach, but he's back with us for a second time. And he staff and takes time. Probably had his guys, you know, with their feet on the ground and working. Maybe job sooner, but there's been a lot of work going on, and you know, it took a while to get Can you hear me okay, Todd?
You're cutting in and out just a little bit, Dave. I thought maybe you might have turned your head there or something.
Well, I've got a lot of interference coming from your end. I'll try to keep going here, but...
Okay, I think we've lost Dave Winder from Murray State. I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll take a break. We'll come back and try to get Dave back on the line after this. So stay tuned here on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
Your WPKY Weather Edge Weather Center forecast is brought to you by Herb Hayes Furniture and Mattress.
From the Weather Edge Weather Center, 30% chance of rain showers this morning, 80% chance of rain and thunderstorms this afternoon. Today's high 79 degrees, 70% chance of showers, thunderstorms tonight, overnight low 62, 90% chance of rain on Friday with a high 72 degrees, continuing chance Friday night, partly sunny Saturday with a high 69. Let's get our forecast today, 30% chance of showers this morning, 60% chance of rain this afternoon. Today's high 79 degrees.
With more on your teams and your players.
Where did it show up there?
And while they are not gold, those crystal awards we have won for doing what we love to do are pretty cool too.
That's something you see every day.
The Kentucky Broadcaster's Best Digital Product Award winner. SportsEdge.com.
If you really enjoy the stories you hear on Traveling the Bluegrass, we'd like to invite you to listen to the whole visit uncut. Just type youragedge.com into your browser. You'll find Traveling the Bluegrass uncut stories in long form, so you don't miss a thing. You'll also find lots of ag news and farm pictures from across the Commonwealth. You can also find all the Kentucky communities that Traveling the Bluegrass can be found. Remember to visit youragedge.com.
This is the Sideline Report on 1580, 103.3 WPKY. Again, thanks for tuning in to this morning's show, and we think we have made contact again with Dave Winder from Murray State. Dave, just a little trouble with the phone line this morning, but we're talking about Steve Prohm and putting together his basketball staff there with the Racers.
Yeah, he certainly has, Todd, and I want to start with just telling you a little bit about Steve Prohm's staff. At Murray State. Start with Cole Coleman. Worked with Steve Prohm as a graduate assistant at Iowa State, 16 to 21. He was there for a lot of the time where the really big years Iowa State had when Prohm was head coach, and has since worked last season at Akron. And he's a young guy who is very versed on recruiting and also operations of college basketball. Then even from the analytical side of the game. And then really excited, too, that Juan Jackson has decided to join Steve Prohm's staff. He's been with Mick Cronin at Cincinnati, where they made the NCAA tournament seven straight years. He's coached at Virginia Tech and UMass and William & Mary, and really known across the game as one of the premier recruiters in the college game. He actually played his college basketball at Pikeville here in Kentucky back in the 90s. And then a lot of folks might remember Jonathan Maddox, who's been with Morehead State for the better part of a decade. He's another young guy who was part of the resurgence of Morehead State basketball with Coach Preston Spradlin, and really had a big hand in recruiting Johnny Broom and all the other great players like Talon Cooper and Xavier Moon that Racer fans remember Murray State battling those guys at Morehead State the last few years. And then we're really thrilled that Marcus Brown has stayed on as the assistant to the head coach. And everybody knows Marcus as one of the retired numbers at Murray State. His number five is retired, and he's in the Murray State Hall of Fame and, you know, played in the NBA and 14 years in the Euro League. He's the all-time leading scorer for an American player in the Euro League, but he's also a great coach, and I saw him really adapt to the college game as the season progressed last season with Matt McMahon. And to have one of Murray State's all-time greats on your coaching staff like Marcus Brown, that's just amazing. And then I'm also excited about Jack Seltzer, who is going to step up to a full-time job, a video coordinator. Jack handles all the social media for the basketball team, plus all the video feeds. and he's just basically a man organizer too. So that's Coach Price's staff, and we're boldly going into the Missouri Valley Conference, and I'm hearing that the conference schedule for men's and women's basketball is being worked on. They're starting to get that together. We'll be hearing news about that late summer. I don't know if there's ever been a schedule that I'm more anxious to get my hands on than the basketball schedule. I really want to see what it's going to look like. And we do know it's going to be 20 games.
Yeah, Dave, I was in Richmond last weekend for the All-A Classic Baseball State Tournament, and it was kind of weird seeing A-Sun logos all over everything there at Eastern Kentucky, and I guess we're going to have to get used to seeing the Missouri Valley logos on everything at Murray State very shortly.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of branding that you'll see being done this summer at our various venues, and yes, you are correct. We're excited. A member of the Valley, and the deeper I get into the conference and I start seeing the decades of experience that staff in St. Louis has, like Jack Watkins, who has been the mastermind of building the Valley on ESPN, and that's just a great thing that is going to bring so many more eyeballs to our basketball program. And then I see a guy like Mike Kern, who is the communications director for the Missouri Valley. I mean, both of those guys together have over 60 years of experience in collegiate athletics. So, and there's a bunch of other talented people at the Missouri Valley Conference that I've had the chance to work with during this process. And, you know, we're working towards that. Of course, we are official members July 1, but, you know, I really already feel like we already are with the work that we're doing, and it's just a lot of fun. And at the same time, we're giving it everything we got to be good members of the Ohio Valley Conference all the way through this spring. Murray State's going to host the OVC Men's and Women's Outdoor Track and Field Championships next week. That's May 11th through the 13th. And I would invite people to come out to that event because it's high-level Division I athletes, and it's going to be a lot of fun, and we're just so proud that one of our last acts as an OVC member is going to be hosting that great championship week.
Well, and still one more year in the Ohio Valley Conference for football.
That's right. Again, you've seen the schedule on GoRacers.com. We had the last time we talked, we had the introduction of the Missouri Valley Football Conference at Murray State, and that was a lot of fun. But we do have the season here, and we're just really looking forward to it. We had our annual spring game, I guess it was 2 weeks ago today, for Dean Hood and his team. And they're continuing to get better and better and better. I think our quarterback, DJ Williams, is ready to just take off now that he's got one season under his belt. And I think defensively, from what I saw in the spring game, maybe the defense was a little ahead of the offense, but it won't be that long, and the Racers will be into camp in early August, and then, of course, the season opener heading up to out to Texas Tech to play the Red Raiders in Lubbock.
Yeah, you mentioned the Missouri Valley Conference and talked about that a little bit. Has there been any discussion about maybe going to divisions in the Missouri Valley? Because just looking at the map, it looks like it would split pretty evenly north and south.
Are you talking basketball?
Yes.
Todd?
Yeah, basketball or any of the other sports.
Yeah, I haven't heard any talk of that. I think what with basketball, I think what you'll see is that there could be travel partners. It's been talked about too, but I haven't seen any of that come down yet. That's decided yet. I do know that you'll probably see some conference games in that period of time after Christmas and before the first of the year. We'll probably get into play earlier since you've got the games to get through. So that's basically all I think I could say there. I don't think that they're thinking about division.
We're talking this morning with Dave Winder from Murray State University and working through a little phone issues, and we appreciate Dave hanging with us this morning. Dave, our St. Louis Cardinals are off to a 14-10 start. It's too early to make any assumptions on this season yet for the Redbirds?
Well, I guess my in my observation, when they get good pitching, they can win a lot of games. And the offense, it's either on or it's off, isn't it? The one day they'll score a bunch of runs, and the next day they get two hits and get shut out. So, but I think offenses are struggling in the big leagues right now across the board. There's been so much made of the lack of home runs and offense that's going on. And again, Todd, we start looking at the baseball, and I think they continue to tweak that baseball, and maybe they dialed it down a little too much.
Yeah, that was one thing I was going to ask. We've already heard talk about a dead ball this year, and I just want what makes the difference in all of that?
You'd have to I'm not a rocket scientist. I don't know, but it just seems like the ball's not jumping, you know, like it did even last season to me.
Yeah, I never can quite figure that out, why some years it seems like it just jumps out of the park and some years it doesn't. But I think the Cardinals are off to a pretty solid start. I think I would take 14-10 all the way through the season, and that probably gets you a playoff spot someplace.
Probably would. You know, Milwaukee's going to be good. I think the Cubs are going to be a factor as well. And then it comes down to, you know, can you dominate the Reds and Pirates? And, you know, a couple of seasons ago, the Cardinals couldn't do that against the Pirates, and it cost them. And so, you know, I would say that it'll be a great race all the way to the end. And you look at, you know, can the Cardinals get to 90 wins? Usually about 90 wins will get you in the playoffs. So, hope so. I'm just enjoying having baseball every day.
Oh, for sure. I think the last time you were on, we had just started baseball season, so I think that's what we talked about most of the time.
It was. That's the, to me, being a Cardinals fan, that's one of the best things, is just getting, you know, waking up every day, and then at some point you look at the preview of that night's game, and you know, sometimes I'll be mowing the yard with my headphones on listening, or sometimes I'll be in the yard and catch up later in the evening on it, but it's a lot of fun. I'm so glad they got collective bargaining agreement hammered up the way they did. I certainly didn't want to see a stop. It would have been horrible, so I'm glad they got that done, and we're having baseball every day, and you know, it's just a lot of fun to follow it as a Cardinals fan.
Well, Dave, as always, appreciate you coming on. Apologies for our issue with the phone line this morning. I'm not really sure where that came from, but always enjoy talking racer sports, and good luck for you guys. I know it's probably a busy time of the year for you guys too.
It's all good, Todd. You know, one thing I didn't get to earlier, and I know we lost some time because of the phone issues, but the State softball team really got a big weekend this weekend at home. They're playing Morehead State. They're game behind Belmont with three games to play for the OVC football championship. So if you want to see high-level softball this weekend, it's a 4 p.m. game Saturday and a doubleheader on Sunday afternoon. And maybe by the weekend, the Racers could be winning their first OVC softball championship.
Yeah, that'd be great. All right, thanks, Dave. Appreciate it.
All right, Todd. Take care, buddy.
That is Dave Winder. He's the Murray State Associate AD for Communications there with the Murray State Racers. Appreciate him coming on the show this morning. Stay with us. We've got more on the Sideline Report as we continue here on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
Raider Auction Company, Hopkinsville, buys and sells farm equipment every day. Find out more at RaiderAuctionCompany.com. That's R-O-E-D-E-R AuctionCompany.com.
From the Weather Edge Weather Center, 30% chance of rain showers this morning, 80% chance of rain and thunderstorms this afternoon. Today's high 79 degrees, 70% chance of showers, thunderstorms tonight. Overnight low 62, 90% chance of rain on Friday with a high 72 degrees. Continuing chance Friday night, partly sunny Saturday with a high 69. Once again, our forecast today, 30% chance of showers this morning, 60% chance of rain this afternoon. Today's high 79 degrees.
Springtime is around the corner, and it's time to plan your spring project. Whether it's flowers for the yard, an outdoor furniture set, or perhaps you need a new mower or trimmer, ABC Finance is here to help. Locally owned and operated, ABC Finance specializes in loans from $500 to $12,000, with decisions usually within an hour. Walk-ins are welcome. Go to abcfinanceonline.com or stop by our location at the Princeton Plaza in Princeton. Also, like ABC Finance on Facebook.
The votes were cast, and ABC Finance Company was once again voted the best of Western Kentucky. Hi, this is Todd Morse at the Hopkinsville ABC Finance location.
And this is Savannah Seymour at the Princeton location. It's truly an honor to receive this recognition, and we appreciate all who voted for us.
We would also like to extend a huge thanks to our staff who make it happen every single day.
Need cash fast? Walk-ins are always welcome. Like ABC Finance Company on Facebook and visit our website at abcfinanceonline.com.
At YourSportsEdge.com, we strive every day to continue to bring you the gold standard in high school sports coverage with more on your teams and your players.
Where did it show up there?
And while they are not gold, those crystal awards we have won for doing what we love to do are pretty cool, too.
That's something you see every day.
The Kentucky Broadcaster's Best Digital Product Award winner. YourSportsEdge.com.
If you really enjoy the stories you hear on Traveling the Bluegrass, we'd like to invite you to listen to the whole visit uncut. Just type YourAgEdge.com into your browser. You'll find Traveling the Bluegrass uncut stories in long form, so you don't miss a thing. You'll also find lots of ag news and farm pictures from across the Commonwealth. You can also find all the Kentucky communities that Traveling the Bluegrass can be found. Remember to visit YourAgEdge.com.
This is the Sideline Report on 1580, 103.3 WPKY. Thanks to Dave Winder from Murray State University for coming on the show this morning. Joining us now in the studio, Caldwell County High School football head coach Will Barnes. And Will, what's going on with the football team?
Right now we're in the weight room and starting to do some skill development, I guess is what you would call it, and really gearing up to, once school gets out, start getting out some more. And, obviously, July will be here before we know it, and we'll hit the ground running.
Yeah, first of all, thanks for coming in this morning. Really appreciate it. And, we'll try to hit some football news. But we kind of got breaking basketball news, getting word that Jabrion Spikes has committed to play basketball at Georgetown College.
Yeah, that's awesome. And, obviously Coach K could speak a lot more to that than I could, but just kind of watching Jabrion, that's a really good get for Georgetown, just from the character standpoint, makes people around him better. So really happy for him. He's such a great kid, and I have no doubt he'll be really successful at that level.
Yeah, he had a heck of a year for the basketball team, was second region player of the year. It's just a shame you guys couldn't get him out there on the football field at some point.
No kidding. I've got a buddy that coaches girls basketball in Frankfort, and he saw highlights or something of Jabrion, and he said, man, how come I never heard about this kid in football? And I said, well, we never could get him out, but, he had a phenomenal career, and really happy for him. You like to see kids that put the work in and do things the right way, go on and have success, and really happy for him.
Well, with Jabrion going to Georgetown, we kind of saw Darian Boyd take that same pathway and had a couple of really good seasons on the basketball court there with the Georgetown Tigers, and now he's going to Lipscomb. So, you can kind of start out at Georgetown, I wouldn't call them a smaller school, but, it's NAIA, it's not NCAA, so that can be a good launching pad for somebody to go have a couple of good years and then, move up a little bit.
Yeah, with the way, transfer portal works now, it makes it a lot easier to make those types of moves. So, that's great for those guys, and I hope everything works out for Jabrion.
Said on the show last week that after getting Eli Pepper earlier and now getting Darian Boyd, that Lipscomb's going to think Caldwell County is some kind of basketball factory.
A little inroads to Lipscomb. That'd be great.
So good luck to all of those guys, and I know that Darian's going to do well down at Lipscomb. I think that's a great fit for him. And I really think Georgetown is going to be great for Jabrion just the way he plays.
Yeah, and you know, kind of like I talked about with Jabrion, you know, Darian's the same way. I saw him, you know, maybe a month ago working in the gym with Eli, and you know, that's what it takes to play at that level, you know, putting the work in, and it's really, really good to see that pay off for those guys.
Just good that Lipscomb could find some connection, you know, to Darian.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know how, you know, nobody's ever gone to Lipscomb or heard of Lipscomb around here.
Well, Eli certainly had a great career down there. I think he left as the school's all-time leading rebounder, so I'm sure if Eli put a bug in somebody's ear that it probably meant something to somebody.
Yeah, sure, absolutely, as it should.
Well, as far as the football team goes, what kind of spring drills can you guys do, and what will the KHSAA allow you to do these days?
So we're in actually our spring practice window right now, and you know, we've got a lot of guys that are involved with track, got a lot of guys involved in baseball, some that are playing tennis. So you know, we don't have a ton of our guys out there. So, you know, as spring practice for us looks a little bit different than probably, you know, like I talked to the coach at McCracken County last week, you know, they're out there practicing. That's not really what we do. And just from a number standpoint, and with so many young guys, you know, a lot of the guys we've got after school are middle schoolers, eighth graders, going to be ninth graders. And some of the rules there, with what you're able to do, you know, you can't bring them up to do spring practice. So, you know, you got to be a little selective on what you do. And to me, you know, spring practice is a good thing. I'm for it. You know, whenever that stuff comes up, you know, I always, you know, support it. But for us, you know, once baseball season and track are over, you know, in right there those couple weeks before dead period, or, you know, we've had baseball guys, you know, go to the state tournament, so that is obviously a great thing when that happens. But when we get those guys from those spring sports, you know, that's when we'll, you know, do a lot more install and more football type stuff. So, you know, we're in the weight room, you know, 4 days a week, and Coach Riley does a great job with that, and do some speed development stuff, and we started a little bit of skill, you know, football skills type stuff as well.
Looking ahead, what is kind of your schedule for the summer? Because 3 months are going to pass really quickly, and it's going to be that first scrimmage before you know it.
Yeah, you know, we'll work out, you know, once we'll give them the last week of school off, and then, you know, the first week of summer, you know, we'll be in working out and getting on the field a little bit. We'll do that all the way up to the dead period. And then I believe it's July 11th. I think it's a Monday. You know, that's when we'll kick it off and really get going with practice. And, you know, we're going to go back to McCracken County for their 7-on-7 tournament, and going to go to Murray State the next week for that. They do an FCA 7-on-7. We've done that for a long time. So, you know, those are, you know, we're probably the worst 7-on-7 team ever, which you wouldn't think with, you know, everybody thinks we throw it all over the place and all that. But to me, you know, it's good to get in those competitive environments in June, or I'm sorry, in July, and, you know, get a lot of reps against, you know, quality competition. So, and then once you get to August, you know, we'll scrimmage same, you know, we'll go to Owensboro Catholic and Owensboro will come here this time, and that'll be kind of our preseason, you know, summer.
Fair to say last year that you didn't do really well in the 7-on-7s, but they ended up being very beneficial, I thought, for you guys.
Yeah, you know, really, I hate them. I hate 7-on-7. Just, you know, like we played a team in 7-on-7 last summer that they had 8 guys on defense. You know, if they're dropping 8, it's really hard to throw the ball.
Yeah.
So, but yeah.
But,
you know,
but their game plan was to win 7-on-7, and your game plan was to make your team better.
Yeah, so I do think that stuff helped us. Just, you know, really, I think people probably thought we weren't going to be very good. And but I think each time we went out, and you know, really last year I felt like we had a team that practiced really well and prepared really well, and I thought we progressed as the season went along. So that stuff, you know, that's why you scrimmage Owensboro Catholic and Owensboro, and you know, you go to these things and play good competition. Is, you know, when you start, you know, in August, the end of August and into September, you know, you've got a little bit of experience and played some good competition.
The 7-on-7 games can be fun, but I think anybody that watched us last year in the 7-on-7s wouldn't have thought you'd ended up winning 7 football games last year. But I kept trying to tell people, in 7-on-7, there's no running the football, there's no tackling. Those are pretty important things.
Yeah, and especially for our team last year, you know, our strength was offense and defensive lines, and you know, we won a game, at least maybe two, you know, where we only threw it, you know, less than 10 times or right at 10 times. So, you know, that was a big part of our team last year. And, you know, you don't always get to see those. And obviously in 7-on-7, they know you're going to throw.
Yeah.
So, you know, but we know that. It's good for the kids because they enjoy it and going to compete against somebody else. So we're going to continue to do those things. And, you know, it is beneficial and it has its place, but it's not the end-all be-all by any means.
Well, as you look ahead to this fall, do you think you'll get back to more of the offense you guys have kind of become known for, where you throw it a little bit more, even though because the passing game sometimes is just an extension of the run game. So sometimes you can throw the ball 30 times, but a lot of those are screens, and it's not like you're forcing the ball down the field.
Yeah, I think it'll look a little bit more, you know, what you would think of our offense, just from personnel and things like that. But, you know, spent some time up at Kentucky and got to talk to their offensive line coach and really just talking about some run game stuff. That's still, you know, going to be a big part of what we do. And, you know, that's – if you can run the ball, it makes it a lot easier to throw the ball. So, you know, it's probably not, you know, right now, what, May 5th, I'm not planning on being as heavy run, but it's something we, you know, we've got to do. And, you know, probably getting closer to that 55-45 type balance is what we typically have always been.
Well, sometimes, though, you just have to do what you have to do.
Yeah, you know, last year I felt like we had a solid defense and had a really good running back and kind of leaned on that defense all year long. And if you've got a good defense, you know, offensively, you don't want to mess it up by turning the ball over. And that was kind of what we emphasized. And, you know, we did a decent job at that and proud of how that all kind of shook out.
What is it you say? If the defense is really good, don't mess it up.
That's right. That's exactly right. So, and you know, there was quite a few games where, you know, that the defense played really well, and the only way we were going to lose it is if we threw an interception for a touchdown or fumbled, and you know, they pick it up for a touchdown. That was the only way they were really going to be able to score. So, that was really a big emphasis for us last year.
Looking ahead, the 2022 football season is the last for the current alignment. What are the plans as far as maybe getting a draft alignment for, I'm guessing, the next 4 years?
Yeah, I think previous years that's kind of come out during the season. You know, the enrollment numbers, I think they've had trying to figure out how that's going to work because of COVID, how that the enrollment numbers worked with the state the last couple of school years. So I think we'll hear something, and I can't imagine a whole lot of change. So I think it'll be closer to the fall before we hear anything on that.
Looks like Caldwell County's probably pretty well stuck in Class 2A now. For a while there, we were kind of on the upper edge, and, well, we played 4 years in 3A, but it seems like we're kind of established now in that 2A enrollment.
Yeah, I think that's probably where we'll stay. And you know, you look historically, that's, you know, kind of where we've been. So I don't anticipate that changing.
Got Murray and Mayfield in the district, Ballard Memorial and Fort Campbell. Do you think that will change any? Could any of those schools bounce one way or the other?
Yeah, I think Mayfield and Murray will probably stay right there, and you know I'm not really sure what Fort Campbell's numbers look like in their school, and you know Ballard the same way. You just never know until those numbers come out from the state. So you know it seems like Fort Campbell and us have been tied together here for
yeah.
you know a pretty good while here. So. We'll see, and you know, really, you know, I'd like for the district to stay the way it is.
Well, with the realignment coming at some point, how do you go working about a schedule for 2023 and beyond?
Yeah, it's really with the way the RPI deal is that does play a part in it, especially with some of the changes in the playoffs and how that could affect the end of the year. So, but you know, for us, we've always tried to play quality people in those non-district games, and you know that's not going to change. You know we'll have to pick up at least one game with Christian County consolidating, and that's always a chore trying to find somebody to play. So we'll see, and you know we'll figure something out. That's for sure.
Do you anticipate the new Christian County school staying on the schedule?
You know that's something we haven't really talked about. I don't have a problem playing them, so we'll see. Haven't talked with Coach Riley or Coach McClung, and definitely haven't talked to them to see, you know, work any of those logistics out over the next, you know, 6, 7, 8 months. We'll kind of figure that out, but, you know, that'll be another good quality program in our area that's a short drive. So we'll see how that works out.
Seems like with consolidation, it's become more difficult to put together a schedule that doesn't have a couple of pretty decent road games on it. You know, with McCracken County, you lost Lone Oak and Heath and all those kind of things. And maybe there are some schools close that we should be playing that, whatever reason, we don't. You know, sometimes that they've got to want to play you too, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and you know, there's teams out there that we would like to play that have – traditional rivals, and it's hard, you know, when you try to play teams like that, like a Paducah Tillman, for example. You know, they've got games that they've got to play McCracken, they've got to play Mayfield, and then trying to figure out a time to play, that's just one example. And there, you know, some other teams that we've tried to work out with, and it's hard sometimes finding open weeks, and you know people want to keep their bye week pretty consistent usually. So we'll scheduling is, you know, a whole other beast in itself, that's for sure.
Well, I just think of the Marshall counties and the Hopkins County Centrals and Muhlenberg counties, maybe a Russellville, those kind of schools. And like you say, they have to fit in the spot. And again, they have to actually want to play Caldwell County for it to actually work out.
Yeah, well, I was talking to Joe Morris at Mayfield, and, there's really – a bigger school doesn't have a whole lot of incentive as far as RPI-wise to play a smaller school just because, you know, they don't get a boost if they win, you know, they were supposed to win. Mm-hmm. And if they lose, you know, they don't get those points. So, that's something that I think we're starting to see just a little bit. But again, you know, we'll try to fill the schedule with the best possible teams we can play and go from there.
Well, if you just wanted the RPI bump, though, you'd just schedule a bunch of out-of-state teams.
Yeah, you know, that's you know, another
they
thing.
They all count equally, so yeah. you find some out-of-state teams that maybe aren't that strong. You can get a bunch of wins and really shoot up the RPI.
Yeah, you know, I think Kevin Wallace at St. X, you know, they beat one of those really good Cincinnati teams last year, I think. And, you know, that counts as a 500 team, which, obviously, you go beat – I think they were nationally ranked. You know, they're better than a 500
yeah.
football team. So, that's interesting how that out-of-state deal plays into it.
But at some point, you will have to start putting together a schedule, and I'm guessing district games are going to remain in those slots they've always been.
Yeah, and you know, we want to continue to play Crittenden County and Trigg County, and those are important games on the schedule. So we've got, kind of like I talked about with some of the other teams that have traditional rivals, you know, we've got some traditional games we want to continue to play as well. So, that's another thing, trying to fit – when people have open, you know, that's not always the easiest thing.
Well, and talking about teams that always made sense to be on the schedule, and for a long time wasn't, Madisonville North Hopkins, but you guys got them back on.
Yeah, and that I'm glad we got that done. And you know, like we've talked about before, you know, we play them in every other sport, and you know, it's been a little while since we played them. Maybe we played them my senior year. I don't know if that was the last time. It's the last one I can remember. So that was good to get them on the schedule. I anticipate us keeping them on the schedule. Coach Price is a really good guy, and we're trying to get JV games and all that stuff. So I anticipate them staying on the schedule as well.
Yeah, that Madisonville rivalry, I was going to say it goes back a long way, but I guess it goes back as far as you can, because from everything I've found, the first team that Princeton High School ever played was Madisonville. So that's how far back that goes.
Yeah, so that's great. I didn't even really realize that. So, it's good to have them on the schedule because, again, that's another quality team that's in our area.
Yeah, I think 1911 was probably the first game, and – that's 111 years.
Yeah,
so
that's awesome.
We need to be playing those guys.
Yeah.
And as a matter of fact, I think I've mentioned it before, but the Tiger nickname I think actually came from that game Madisonville had been playing a few years, and it was first game for Princeton, and I think Madisonville won it 6-0, and officials in Madisonville actually sent a letter to Princeton, to the school, and said, "You should be proud of your guys. They fought like Tigers."
That's
we've been Tigers ever since.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. So, we'll definitely try to keep them on the schedule.
Looking ahead to this fall, what kind of positions do you have to replace from last year? And just kind of what's your feeling on your team going into the 2022 season?
Kind of like we talked about earlier, I felt like our offense and defensive lines were our strength. And, we lost two really, really good defensive linemen in Angel Long and Elijah Shaheen that are multiple-year starters that'll be really tough to replace. And, Gavin Board on the offensive line is a guy that's, played 2 and 3 years. And so those guys are hard to replace. But we've got some guys, in the weight room and have done some great things in the offseason. Maurice Seals is a guy that we've kind of – been waiting on, and he's done a really good job in the offseason. He needs to continue to progress. And, Connor King is a kid that'll be a senior, that played offensive line, played a little defensive line. He's going to be a guy we really count on and have a lot of confidence in him. And, losing Logan Smiley will be really hard for us. He was able to do so many things offensively. It'll probably be, a committee approach. Jameis Carnahan's done a good job running the ball. But he played inside receiver spot that's kind of become a really important spot. It's the same spot, Tate played, and that's really become a really important aspect of our offense. So I don't know that we'll move him from that spot, but if we need to, we will. There's some really good young kids coming that'll be freshmen, and, I wouldn't be a bit surprised if a handful of those are pushing for playing time. And, we'll have another quarterback this year with Jack Stevens graduating, and Luke Parker's a kid that was got a lot of reps in the summer and even throughout the year in practice, so we'll look at him to hopefully be that guy. And Landon Davis is a guy that has been a big part of our defense, but I'm kind of looking at him at possibly playing a little quarterback and playing some running back. So, we may be young in some spots, but I think we've got some talented guys that are just inexperienced, and that's why going to those 7-on-7s and scrimmaging good people early on is important, because they've got talent. They just need to, get their feet wet a little bit, I think they've got a chance to have a good team this year.
Seems like I see the same thing from the internet experts every year, and that's that Caldwell lost a lot of talent, so they're probably going to be down this year. I think I've seen that for about 10 years running. And yes, you guys do lose talent, but it seems like there's always some kids waiting in the wings to kind of step into those spots.
Well, I hope so. We'll see how it shakes out, and You know, it's really important to have a good June and come back off the dead period and really get going and you know, hopefully start a little bit better than we have the last, you know, at least last year. And, you know, it's going to take a lot of work. We're definitely not to the point where we need to be, but I'm pretty happy with where we're at right now. And, you know, one thing that we've been able to do is we've got a lot of guys that are sophomores, juniors that are in our weightlifting class in school. So that's been really important for some of those guys that played multiple sports to continue to lift even, you know, when they can't come after school. So that's been a big asset for us as far as our off season goes too.
Well, like I said, the season's going to be here before you know it. It seems like those 3 months over the summer just fly by, and the next thing you know, it's the 1st of August, and you're looking at that first scrimmage.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I told them yesterday. You know, once school gets out, June will fly by, dead period, you know, kind of slows down a little bit, but once you get back July 11th, it's go time, and it come, you know, that first Friday in August comes pretty fast.
Who have you got in the USFL?
I haven't watched since the opening weekend, but that's an interesting deal.
Well, and we get the XFL back next year, so it's just going to be football all over the place.
Yeah, it is good to, you know, just on a casual Saturday in the spring, you know, watch a little football. So I can't quite get into it like, you know, it's the fall, but it's a good deal to, you know, throw on and do something else while you're watching it.
Well, I appreciate you coming in this morning and giving us an update on Caldwell football. And like I said, can't wait to this season and can't wait till we see those 23 and 24 schedules.
Yeah, that'll be we'll start piecing that together really when the realignment comes out and see what that looks like.
All right, thanks, Will.
Thanks, Todd.
That's Will Barnes, Caldwell County Tiger football head coach. Appreciate his time this morning. Also, thanks to Dave Winder from Murray State University for joining us on the Sideline Report today. That's going to wrap us up. Thanks a lot for being with us. This is Todd Griffin of WPKY Radio and your SportsEdge.com. Thanks for listening here on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
WPKY Princeton.